Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayam Bhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. To go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, John Sabo with the Far East Travels Podcast, coming to you from Can Hoa Province in Vietnam, in the city of Nha Trang, and enjoying more freedoms and things opening up. I'm seeing more businesses almost daily opening back up, so it's really nice to see some life being breathed back into the city. I went to a vegetarian place to pick up something for lunch today. It was the first time I've seen them open in 4 months. I went to a sushi place, a little takeout sushi place last week and had, that was this week. Had sushi 2 weeks in a row. Life must be good. Had sushi this week from a little takeout place that hadn't been reopened since maybe 3 or 4 months or so. So it's nice to see some life coming back to the town or the city here. And more of this is happening across Vietnam, which is really nice to see, especially in the economic center of the country, Ho Chi Minh City, where they continue to reopen businesses and activity is, almost, maybe not quite, but getting back to its old self. So in this episode, I want to do a roundup of the region again. We're going to talk about what's going on with Thailand as far as reopenings, a little bit about Bali, what happened there, what did happen there. Bali, Indonesia was open, but there was no flight scheduled to go there. Well, that's kind of a miscommunication, I think. So we're going to talk about Bali, what's going on there, as well as here in Vietnam, where there's going to be at least one opening in November of Phu Quoc Island, talk about Boracay in the Philippines, Singapore, and more in this episode. And then we're also going to visit, I tell you, it's one of my favorite cities in Southeast Asia, easily, Hanoi, from my last visit in 2017. And I'm still shaking my head. How could I have not been able to visit this amazing city? It was the capital of Indochina during the French colonial period. It is charming. It's cultural. It's a cultural center of Vietnam. The people are just wonderful. There's wonderful neighborhoods or areas of the city that you can explore, and it's just really mostly just been because of this pandemic. This pandemic has just made it very, very difficult to travel at this time, even within the country. So I'm going to take you back to 2017, the last time I was there, do a walkthrough of the old quarter, talk about some of the stuff in the old quarter as I head towards the big wholesale market there in Hanoi in this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always, thank you for your kind thoughts and messages, especially on the YouTube channel as well. John Sabo on YouTube. I just stuck another video up there this week, and I should have another one out soon on life getting back to normal here in this part of Vietnam. And, you know, you can support the podcast. You can obviously support the YouTube channel by liking the videos and making comments and subscribing to the channel. And then for the podcast, what really helps is if you write a review in the iTunes Store or Apple Podcasts. And there'll be a link in the show notes. Just follow that link. Make sure you're signed into your Apple account. And then you can rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. And then you can also support the podcast by either being a patron and donate monthly pledges or just make one-off donations. Those are always helpful as well. There'll be two links in the show notes where you can support the Far East Travels podcast. So, lots of things going on in Southeast Asia, lots of openings. Thailand is absolutely the most aggressive country at taking up measures in order to open up to international travelers again. They've had probably the biggest loss out of any country, the most amount of money lost or revenue lost throughout this pandemic. And they are very eager to get going again. So Thailand is basically going to open up the whole country November 1st. They were going to actually only do it in sections. So they were going to take some provinces like November 1st. It was going to be Chiang Mai and Bangkok and Pattaya and Hua Hin. Now they're just saying, we're going to open up the whole thing November 1st to vaccinated travelers. No quarantine required from select countries. So which countries are those? Okay, let's run down a few of them. China, the US, Germany, Singapore, and the UK. And you need to visit the Thailand tourism or Thailand immigration portal, and you can find out if your country falls under those low-risk countries that they are opening up to. So you will still need to arrive with a negative PCR test completed within 72 hours of arriving. And this is only for airport arrivals. This is not open to overland travelers at this time. And the revised plan, as I said now, includes all parts of the country. And I believe you still need to check in with a Thai embassy or consulate, the one that's closest to you, to obtain this travel permit that you'll need. You can't just arrive, I believe, and get a visa on arrival like you used to be able to, at least for now. So you'll have to arrange that through your local embassy, your local Thai embassy. So that's what's happening in Thailand, pretty unprecedented. And everybody is watching what's going on in Thailand before they make their move. And Bali was one of those places. And Bali was talking about opening up 4 months, reopening to international tourists. They were talking about doing this back in August, and they delayed it, and they've kept delaying it. And then finally, last week, they opened up to international tourists, but there were no flights scheduled to Bali. There are no international flights at this time scheduled to Bali, at least the last time I checked. So if you want to go to Bali, it might be easier now, but you'll still have to fly to Jakarta first. So visitors must be fully vaccinated, and you're still required to spend 5 days in quarantine at a government-approved hotel once you arrive in Bali. But Bali, after all this time, is reopening or has reopened to, again, some select countries. 19, apparently, at this time, have been approved for the first rollout, and they include China, India, Japan, South Korea, New Zealand, several Western European countries, and select countries from the Middle East. And again, for now, you're going to have to fly to Jakarta. Yeah, that's not really reopening yet. At least they don't have all their ducks in a row yet for reopening, but it's a start. They are issuing tourist visas again for the first time in 18 months to the magical island of Bali. So the other place that's opening up too, really interesting to see this. I know a lot of Western tourists, a lot of Americans love to go to Boracay in the Philippines. The beautiful island of Boracay was actually before the pandemic was actually closed for several months just to get a hold of the pollution that was just out of control there. So they now have 73% of the population vaccinated. And yeah, they're preparing to reopen to tourists, Boracay in the Philippines. Singapore is another place, and a lot of Western tourists love to go to Singapore. A lot of Asian tourists love to visit Singapore. It's really probably one of the most modern cities in Southeast Asia. It's got a very, very cool hawker center, food court culture there that is really nobody comes close to, and the way it's all set up and the way it's done and the quality of the food and everything. So people just love to go to Singapore and eat and then do all kinds of other stuff there, some activities that they kind of have. And they have opened up some traffic lanes. They did in September. They opened to Germany and Brunei. But now for, I think, beginning this week, they are opening up to Denmark, the Netherlands, Canada, the U.S., Spain, and other EU countries. Now, here's the catch. If you're American, if you're from the U.S., your State Department has issued a level 4 do not travel advisory to Singapore due to the rise in COVID-19 cases. So level 4, I think you can still go to Singapore, but it's very risky for you. Your insurance might not cover you if something should happen to you if you travel to a level 4 country. So just keep that in mind. But that is the situation right now. Now, apparently experts believe it's actually not a bad thing that there are more COVID cases right now in Singapore, as 84% of the population have been vaccinated and the majority of the cases are mild and may actually benefit the population overall, with more people developing a natural immunity towards the to the virus. So these people that are getting it that may have been vaccinated, you know, the chances of them getting seriously sick are much lower because they're vaccinated. And on top of that, if they do get sick, and apparently a lot of them have been getting sick, but getting over it in a few days, then they have the natural immunities that are maybe more robust and will make the population even more resistant or less likely to spread further, at least for now. So that's the situation in Singapore. But Singapore is open up, and you can check any of these countries' immigration sites or tourism portals, and they'll be able to give you all the details about what you need to do and which countries qualify under these openings. But looks like Thailand is going to go ahead with their wide opening November 1st. Bali is now open. They just need some planes to start flying there. And Vietnam is getting ready to open up Phu Quoc Island. And this is a very special place. It's really, I think, for maybe people outside of the region, it's kind of more of a cult place. But I've talked to so many people that love it. But it doesn't have, obviously, the same cachet or widespread, interest as, say, a place like Bali or Phuket or someplace like that. It's not as popular with tourists outside of Asia. But within Asia, it's been very popular. With Russians, it's very popular. And November 1st, they're reopening. Again, I believe there'll be just select countries, so you'll have to check the Vietnam immigration site, or just specifically check Phu Quoc for their tourism portal, and they'll be able to give you more information on that. There will be direct flights to Phu Quoc Island. They will just be package tours at first, so hotel, yada yada, like transfers included, and probably maybe some activities, but you will be controlled in your stay. You won't be able to just wander anywhere you want, at least at first in this first phase, and that might change later. And then there's other places in Vietnam that are getting really aggressive about reopening as well. They want to reopen this province I'm in right now and start out with people flying right into Cam Ranh Airport, which is about it's about 30 minutes drive south of where I am right now. And tourists would fly directly in, and then they would be shuttled to, you know, their resort or villa hotel. There's lots of these places that are secluded in this province. Some of them are on islands that can only be reached by boat. So it's very easy to contain people and keep them away from the general population. So it's not a bad place to start out. And as well, there's talk about Hoi An opening up, or at least that province, Quan'an province, opening up. Again, probably will be controlled resort stays, seclusion, not a lot of wandering around, but they may have some organized activities for you as a part of a package. These are all going to be package tourists to Vietnam at first, and it will be just select countries, and the flights will go directly into the area you want to go. You won't be able to go on to someplace else afterwards, if that's what you're thinking. It's not going to be like Thailand, at least for now. And then with all of this talk, there's always these rumors coming out here and there about when Vietnam's going to actually reopen. And the latest one that we heard was possibly by June 2022, which kind of makes sense to me. I know they will be very aggressive at getting things organized so that people will be able to travel home for Tet, for the Lunar New Year, February 1st. That will be a big goal for Vietnam, I believe, to get the country and get everything in place so that people will be able to travel freely and they'll be able to celebrate the most important holiday of the year in 2022, Tet, February 1st. So that will be the internal goal. And then outside of that, perhaps after they get through all that, maybe they will relook at opening up again. But that's the situation here in Vietnam right now. So I've been coming to Vietnam since 2015, made several trips before I decided to make this my base. But I always wanted to come back for more. It's one of those places, you know, if you haven't been here before and you're experiencing it, for some people, it just seems to get under their skin and they just want more and they come back for more and more. I met a family many years ago when I was wandering through a night market in Taipei, the Shilin Night Market, and we started talking. They were from the United States, and they'd been traveling to Da Nang for 16 years in a row. Every year they would go to Da Nang, and they absolutely loved it. They loved the people. Usually it's a people connection that people make. They really seem to be either charmed by the local people or they develop some local connections or friendships, and then they just keep coming back for more. Happens all over the place. Happens in Thailand, happens in Cambodia, but this happens a lot to people in Vietnam. And for me, I just kept coming back and wanting more, and I had friends that already lived here as well. And I just absolutely, from the first time I saw it, I absolutely fell in love with Hanoi. I was absolutely enchanted by this place. I had gotten in very late at night, and I was staying in the old quarter, and I woke up the next morning early, and I went out for some coffee, and I just looked around, and they had all these narrow streets and motorbikes buzzing around everywhere and street sellers and food carts, and it was just so atmospheric. I just thought, this is absolutely amazing. I want more of this. So I've been back, I think, two or three times since then. But it's been a while because of the pandemic. So this is a clip from a trip I did in 2017, November 2017. And this was just a few weeks before Christmas. So they had lots of Christmas decorations out. They were selling Christmas decorations. It was a little chillier out. And this is a walk I would do almost every day when I was staying in the old quarter, to walk to the big wholesale market there to buy some baguettes for breakfast and maybe some fruit and some other things.
Hey, replay viewers, welcome to Hanoi, Vietnam, and the old quarter. All right, I just had a couple of shots of Vietnamese coffee. I had Cafe Dan Nong, which is hot black coffee at this place here. And pretty normal, sit on a little stool out in the open, have your coffee, go for a walk. It's Hanoi, Vietnam, one of the most atmospheric places in Southeast Asia. And I'm just walking to the big Dong Juan market here. I need to get some baguettes. I want to find some baguettes for breakfast. About 10,000 dong for two baguettes, which is less than a dollar.
And if you go to a restaurant here in the morning, they want to charge you $20,000 for one baguette with some butter on it. So baguettes, I just self-cater. I just get a little bit of breakfast. But I'm still looking for this very special dish that is part of Hanoi culture, and it's fermented shrimp paste that you use to dunk rice noodles with, and tofu, fried tofu. And it's really stinky, but it's kind of addictive at the same time. Okay, hang on a sec here. Right in the middle of traffic, I could get killed at any second here. I better pay attention to what I'm doing. Hey, thanks for watching. Let me know where you're watching from. And I'm here for another few days in Hanoi. I'm spending a lot of time in Hanoi on this trip. But this is my fourth time to Vietnam in just 2 years. So you can probably sense that I think it's a cool place to come. And I've traveled through most of Southeast Asia. I just haven't hit to Myanmar yet. But that's on my list. I almost did it on this last trip that I made out of Taiwan. But maybe next year I'll cover off Myanmar. So this is the old quarter. The old quarter, hundreds of years old. Originally it was 36 streets, and each street sold a certain type of item, like whether it was tin or things for the home. And today there's, I think, about 75 streets or 76 streets here. And the some of the original streets still sell what they sell, but not the whole street. It's become more tourist focused. So some of the streets now have shops with tourist things where they didn't back in the old days. But it's a really fascinating place to come. The Lantern Street's one of my favorite. Right now, this time of year, they have all of the Christmas decorations up. So when I was here last August, they had the things for the Mid-Autumn Festival. And then you'll find streets with musical instruments, like we're walking past right now. This is a little section that has all musical instruments here. There's a street that just sells like paint, a street that sells tin, which is kind of cool because they're always making things on the street from the morning till night. So you can see them actually making stuff. And these are like wall coverings here. The street with wall coverings, and there's a street, and then this is the paint street where they sell the paint and different things all around here. So good morning to you. It is almost 9 a.m. here in Hanoi. Oh, what do we got here? Is this somebody's pet? Yeah, it's a pet chicken. Hello, good morning. It's chained up. It's somebody's pet chicken. They like birds here as pets. There, you'll see lots of bird cages hanging around, like here. All around the old quarter, you see these bird cages. Thanks. So we're blipping out a little bit, so apologies. But actually, the cell coverage here is better than when I was here last year. They have 4G here now. It's still not the best 4G in Asia, but it's better than the 3G that they had before. So definitely it's a stronger signal now than it was a year ago when I was here. You see all the motorbikes parked everywhere. This is a bit of a problem. It's a little bit unsafe. They're trying to deal with this, which is good, but it's a little unsafe to walk here at times because you have to walk in on the street. You're forced to walk on the street because there's so many motorbikes in Hanoi. There's 2 million motorbikes in Hanoi. And it also causes a lot of air pollution as well. So they are trying to move away from these. They want actually all of these gas-powered bikes off the street by 2030. I'm not sure what the public transport plans are for Hanoi, but in Ho Chi Minh City, they're building a metro, a subway, underground subway. But I'm not sure what the plans are here in Hanoi. Let's walk down a few back alleys here. See, this is where there's more tourist shops here now that aren't in with the theme of the old quarter with the theme streets. Actually, throughout Asia, you'll find many cities have themed streets. But what's kind of cool is just to walk down all these different alleys here as well. Some of them have little restaurants, some of them have little shops, fruit stands, different things. So thanks for watching. If you've made some comments and I haven't said hi back, sorry. Sometimes the comments don't come through on the broadcast. This looks like a little school here. I think possibly a preschool. It's kind of cute. I think I'm going the wrong way. Maybe that's what that lady was trying to tell me. Yeah, like this one. I think that's what that lady was telling me, was I'm going the wrong way. Why am I going this way? Good morning to you. Well, it's morning here. It's 9 a.m. in Hanoi. I'm just heading to the big market, the big wholesale market, but there's lots of fruit and vegetables for sale around there, and some baguettes. I want to get some baguettes. Baguettes are 5,000 each here, so about 25 cents, something like that, a little less than 25 cents each. So I do go out for breakfast sometimes, and I'll try to have some of the traditional things that I can eat, but when you're on these longer trips, it's nice to just self-cater sometimes and buy a few things that you can have for breakfast anyways. I always go out for lunch and dinner, but self-catering for breakfast is just, it's not a bad thing to do when you're on extended trip. I'm spending like basically 2 weeks right around Hanoi here. This is the, they call it the Buddha Street, or this is where you buy the religious items for worship in the home, ancestor worship. These altars here, people have them in their home, and they worship their ancestors with these, putting out offerings and that depending on the time of day, or sorry, the time of month. Usually twice in the lunar calendar.
Hello.
Oh, you're in Kaohsiung right now. Oh, that's very cool. I just don't spend enough time in Kaohsiung. You know, Jeff is in Taiwan right now, who's making some comments, and he's in Kaohsiung, which is the second biggest city in Taiwan. And Lonely Planet just named Kaohsiung one of the top 10 cities you should visit in 2018. I was very surprised, but happy for Kaohsiung. It's a very interesting city. Tropical city, 100% tropical city in Taiwan. Here's another temple here, and this is actually a cool... I bought a stamp here the other day. These guys make stamps. They can actually personalize stamps for you as well, so... They will actually take an image that you pick out that you like, and they'll put your name on it. And it's like 100,000 dongs. I mean, it's really cheap, like $4. Kind of a cool souvenir. Now you can see the traffic getting more intense as we're heading, getting closer to the market. And it's a pretty intense place. No traffic lights here in a lot of the intersections. You just jump out and go. The drivers are pretty aware, though. They do watch you and swerve around you. Just the key is not to jump in front of cars, because the cars really have, they can't really swerve around you like the bikes can. Some more Christmas decorations here. There's not a lot of Christians in Vietnam, but people do like to celebrate Christmas. It wouldn't have the same spirit that you would be used to in the West. So it's more like a Halloween holiday. Just a fun day, basically, or fun time. Lunar New Year really is the big holiday here in Vietnam, and they call it Tet here. It's called Tet in Vietnam, and that's the biggest holiday of the year. And usually they get, I think, a whole week off. So a lot of these traditions were passed on in Vietnam when the Chinese were here, and the Chinese were in Vietnam for 1,000 years. So a lot of these traditions of Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism were adopted from the Chinese, and they're still here today. A lot of expats are coming here. Let's go look at this. It's wedding season here in Hanoi. I think maybe all over Vietnam. I think it's the temperatures. I think it's a cooler time of year, so to put on the wedding dress and do all that stuff, it's just more reasonable this time of year. So I'm seeing all around the old quarter these canopies set up for wedding receptions. And sometimes you'll see these canopies in the street, but they're not. This is definitely a wedding reception canopy, but some of them are for memorials. They have like a funeral or a memorial for somebody. But these are for a wedding. It's big wedding season right now here. And this is what makes staying in Hanoi so interesting, is just all of the street life here. Xin chào. All the street life here, the people out on the streets. Xin chào. All of the activity, the people having coffee. This is a good coffee place, by the way. They actually, if you want a hot coffee, they actually put your cup in a bowl of hot water to keep it warm. And there's a few of these locations around, I think. There's more Christmas stuff here. And now you can see the traffic is pretty intense around here because we're close to the market. So it's a wholesale market, so a lot of, Vietnam is an intensely entrepreneurial, spirited country. So a lot of people work for themselves. They have little shops and stalls, and they come to the wholesale market to buy clothing and goods so they can resell it. And you can, as a tourist or an individual, you can come and buy from the wholesale market as well, but don't expect to get a ton of savings, because they're probably going to sell it to you at close to retail, if not retail price, because you're not buying 8 XLs of one jacket or something. So you're only going to probably save money if you're buying in big lots. So generally speaking, you're going to find the Vietnamese people are very friendly, very curious, and very hospitable to foreigners. But if you're staying in tourist areas like this, do expect to be, or at least try to be, people will try to overcharge you for things, and there's definitely some scams here. I'm just working on a YouTube video right now on avoiding some of the scams and overcharging in Hanoi. Okay, I will just take you through a little bit of the market, just a couple minutes. It gets really intense. This side I don't want to go on because I think I'll get stuck there. Sometimes you get stuck there for a while. You can't move because of the trucks that are coming in and out of there. And the people loading their motorbikes with stuff. It's so intense. And this is one of the busiest times of the day. And early evening is pretty busy here as well. Some great street food down this alley here. On motorbike. Some of these big bags here will be carted on a motorbike. Yeah, I'll try to watch myself. I do. You don't see a lot of people with their head down in their cell phone here. They don't do that because they know that's pretty dangerous. Although sometimes you'll see people texting while they're driving their motorbike. You will actually see that.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. You can stay connected by following me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram. I post every day something new on Instagram. Check that out. On Facebook, it's the Far East Travels podcast page, which you can now listen to if you're in the United States and you've got your mobile phone handy, you can listen to the Far East Travels podcast right from the Far East Travels Facebook page. So check that out if you're in the U.S. And, of course, Far East Travels and the John Sabo official Facebook page. And then on Twitter, it's Far East _ Travels. And, of course, John Sabo on YouTube. Thanks again, and I, as always, wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi dalei, and peace from Vietnam.